I'm going to move on to the data modeling piece, and then tight on time. That's okay.
Yeah, we had, as part of this presentation, we had also our first views on extension. Now, we cannot address this today, and I promise that in the next face-to-face meeting, because I think it will be difficult to handle that during a conference call, that this will be one of our topics. Because one of the issues, we feel that extensions, we continue to hear from users, from preparers, etc., that extensions are definitely a necessity for flexible reporting, but at the same time, we can do more to make them more easable, consumable. Now, we are planning to do a research paper on it, like getting the views of users, of preparers on extensions, getting their business requirements, and then Andy will look at what kind of potential options exist to handle extensions. We also talk, for instance, with the UK IFRS taxonomy team as well, because I've included things like DOMI members and see what we can learn from that as well. So, sorry, we cannot address this topic in depth today, but again, at the next face-to-face meeting, this is going to be one of our hot topics and probably the first point on the agenda, so that we can we won't miss it. And over to you now.
Okay, so you want to skip through to the current state of affairs. So this is going to be a bit of a quick run through. I'm aware that it's not been given a great deal of time, but hopefully what I'll do is try and move through this relatively quickly. But if you've got questions and you don't understand, do stop me and I'll go back to things. And if we run out of time for questions afterwards, what we'll do is we'll collect them so that we can answer them in future calls and not leave anything unanswered, as it were, because it's a bit of a tricky technical topic. So at the moment, the IFRS taxonomy data model is disclosure and presentation based. It looks very directly and only at the disclosures and the way that they're put together and presented in financial statements. And I'm not an accountant, so occasionally I'll forget and say presentation to mean just putting stuff on paper instead of putting it in face statements. So apologies for any confusion in advance. It's XBRL based because it is, at the moment, what we're developing is a very focused XBRL taxonomy. It's kind of partly dimensional, possibly inconsistently so. It's been done over a number of years. We haven't really done the analysis to check. I'll go into that a little bit more in a second as well. And we haven't got what the taxonomy is and what that data model is documented anywhere outside of the XBRL taxonomy or in combination with that XBRL files. So that's the only place we have any information on it and any way of viewing it or using it. I'm mostly, for this, going to focus on something that we've started with the FASB, which is a sort of a joint trial using sort of DPN-style modelling, or basically just data modelling, but looking at things in a very granular fashion and looking at the details behind everything. So the aim of the project is to investigate the uses for a detailed data model, one that's got a lot of pulling out all the really fine details rather than a very high-level general model. And how that might interact with the way we currently work on the IFRS taxonomy and its actual model for the disclosures and how it's used in practice. So the questions we sort of have for this are, we're trying to assess the existing taxonomy model. Does it look like that it has the appropriate line items and dimensions, and is it consistent? So, you know, we'll have a bit high-level idea of what we think it should be, and then we'll compare it back to what we're doing now across the board. Where should the IFRS taxonomy sit on the scale of taxonomy dimensionality? Are we doing that right at the moment? Should we be more or less on different sides of that scale? How else can we use the information we gain from the data modelling? Because we will get quite a lot out of this that it doesn't directly apply immediately to the current taxonomy. And are we looking at the right level models? Is what we're doing at the moment the right kind of thing to be doing? Should we be doing this more detailed modelling more often? Should we be doing something else? So if we move to the next slide and sort of have a quick look at our approach, we've been doing this as a kind of joint trial with Lewis and with the FASB. We're starting by looking at IFRS 13 fair value measurement. We had a quick conversation about standards we thought would be a good place to start for this, and we sort of settled on fair value measurement for a number of reasons. It's a converged standard, which is helpful, as you've already heard. There's more work underway on fair value at the moment, so there were people looking at the units of account, I think, and in general, both sides have been looking at taxonomy. I know Lewis has been looking at taxonomy for it, and there's possibly more taxonomy work to do there. And it's a standard where it's already got some dimensional modelling in. It's not like we're looking at something though where we know dimensionality wouldn't apply or wouldn't happen in practice. We know we're already using it to some extent. When I refer to modelling levels, I'm sort of talking here about what kind of thing it is that the data model I'm talking about represents. So the data model is a description of the information of the data that we're expecting to be dealing with. It aims to try and describe that and its relationship so that when we look at it, we know what's going on in the standard that we're looking at. So at the very top level, of course, you have what's called an abstract model. It's very high level. Its aim is to not describe what's going on physically. Its aim is to try and separate itself from how the data is actually used and from the decisions that people make when they put together the filing that they're creating, and just try and describe the entities and the general concepts that are involved. So going up to something and saying, okay, this is we're looking at fair value measurement here, instead of going through the decision process of saying, like, we need to do this, we need to prepare this thing, we need to measure it, we need to apply these things to it. It's trying to say, when we do that process, we have to consider the asset and the liability, we have to consider some things about the market, we need to consider some things about various systems, and just identifying what those really high-level things we're talking about are. And then we have a case of a logical model. It's where we take those things we've identified and we go back down towards trying to use it again, and we apply our use cases and requirements and try and come up with a practical description for what it is we're doing using those things that we've identified, saying we have markets involved. Where is it they actually come into play? What happens when we try and make this a more model of what we're actually doing? And then finally, we've got the physical model, which is actually what happens when we create a taxonomy. We create, using a standard, using something with real-world restrictions, we create something to represent those disclosures and what we want to do in XBRL, in a database. And it has to take into account not only what we're trying to do, but any restrictions we've got as a result of the way XBRL works, or the database works, or the way filing works. It has to build into it what actually happens in real life and be practical, and it has to be usable. The approach we're taking for this overall project is, we're saying we're using data point methodology style modelling. Basically what we're saying there is that we want to pull out as much detail as possible, get something that pulls out all the properties in the same way that you see if you look at one of the banking taxonomies or one of the insurance taxonomies, with that very, very detailed breakdown of all the properties that are involved in the reporting. It creates those very large, complex tables. We're starting at that top abstract level, though. So we're starting at a point where, when we're looking at all these properties, what we want to do is not think about directly how we use them, but where they're involved, what is involved, and what it looks like. But we will also consider sort of other general relationships. We'll look at other modelling. We'll look at the ways that best represent this for us to actually use. So, you know, we're not going to stick with something and say, okay, this is the high-level abstract, but actually that's not usable for us. If we need to put some more description in or use some other things, we'll make it up as we go along. We've also similarly not really decided what it is in format we will actually output from this. I mean, in a sense, we will get this model, but what we then give to other people or what we actually produce for our own purposes. For example, we may not actually create those DPM-style tables you see, because for our purposes, those tables aren't our physical representation of what we're going to do. So we'll see as it goes what we find is useful to produce and what we think will communicate the results of what's going on best for external users and for people to understand the results of what we've been doing. Primarily what we're looking at is the standard text. This is obviously the IFRS and FASB standard because it's a converged standard. But we're not just considering the disclosure text. The aim is to try and look at everything that is involved and then take that and look at how it produces and disclosures and what it does to create the disclosures and how it affects the disclosures. So we're including looking at measurement, recognition, basis for conclusions, everywhere there might be information that contributes to what it is that creates the filing and creates the disclosures. Other source materials we can use for cross-checking, things like external explanatory materials, other materials people have produced to help describe fair value, so external bodies producing fair value guidelines, that kind of thing. And also, especially in very much later stages, when we're trying to move back to representing what's actually being reported, we can look at the real-life disclosures because this is a standard in practice. So we can go and say, okay, we've now approached this from an entirely theoretical angle. This is what we theoretically think the disclosures will end up like. Is this what's actually happening in real life? Have we done something that works here? Have we managed to create the right kind of representation of what's actually happening? And the aim for doing all that is to get an idea of all these properties and to look at what goes into the disclosures so that we can take a look at the IFRS taxonomy sitting on this scale of taxonomy dimensionality. So you heard me mention earlier the EBA and the EIOPA taxonomy is where you get those very big tables, and you've heard them described as very dimensional. They involve the combination of lots and lots and lots of properties to build up a complete picture of a smaller number of line items. And we refer to those as very dimensional taxonomies. They're often described as being sort of cube-like for some types of analysis and processing. At the other end, of course, if you're in XBRL world, we have taxonomies that don't use dimension at all. I actually had serious trouble trying to find examples of taxonomies that use no dimensions these days. So if anybody's got any suggestions, but I think there's an... Belgian gap, possibly. I think the Indian banking taxonomy might use none, but there aren't very many at that end of the scale. Most are somewhere sitting in their middle, along with the FASB and the IFRS. There's sort of this hybrid plan where some properties are used to give us more information about some line items. You saw us earlier talking about the modelling for revenue recognition, this whole concept of just breaking down those things where, when you're reporting as a preparer, you might want to pull in a column for your table where you might want to say, I'm breaking this down by this, or I'm reconciling across here. And that's the sort of hybrid thing in the middle. And what we want to do is try and use this complete idea of what the information we're trying to represent actually is to look at the model we're doing there and see, are we doing the right thing? Are we providing the right columns? Are those columns actually the ones that give us the most representation of the data in use? Are we providing so many that we're overcomplicating things for preparers? Could we have used a couple of simpler ones? Is there a way we could have represented it better that actually makes life easier for people? And generally do a big sort of analysis of what we've got for fair value measurement now and what happens when we finish our trial project. So at the output, the data point methodology is usually used for producing these highly multidimensional models, these very, very property-based taxonomies. It uses hierarchies and domains to describe relationships between these attributes to allow them to be sort of normalized into a more usable structure and to make them into relationships that can actually be used in physical reporting. Because if you just look at them abstractly, it's all sort of a bit, well, how do these apply to each other? We need to restrict them down and make it possible to use them and make it create specific data points that users can then actually say, I'm using that, that's my combination. When I'm reporting this item, I'm saying I have this. I'm applying the fact that it's recurring. I'm applying the fact that it's non-current. I'm saying all of these things about it, and that is the thing I'm using. And that I don't have to wade through every single possible property to work that out. You have to make it down to a use. The upside of doing all the work to pull out all those properties, of doing the modelling behind that, is that it gives us a very explicit idea of exactly what's going on when we look at a disclosure. It allows us to take implicit information that are implied from the whole concept of saying, okay, I'm reporting a fair value at level one. It allows us to say, okay, what it is that does that level one mean? When somebody says they have created a value and they've assigned it and they've declared that they're reporting a level one fair value, what kind of thing does it mean? It means from an active market, it means that it's an observable input. There's a whole lot of stuff we know that level one should mean, but at the moment we're not describing it. So the aim is to describe all of that so we have a much clearer idea of what's going on and pull it out of the standards in a formal fashion. So the reasons for doing this I've mostly covered in my description of what's going on. It's to make us things explicit. It's to allow us to identify. Yes, since you're in the project.
I just want to focus on this one point here about the level 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So this ties back, at least in my mind, it ties back to the conversation we were having about the members for RevRec. And you know, part of the reason we're doing this project is that as a modeler, it's really important that we understand what the underlying attributes are of the thing that the standard might just say levels 1, 2, and 3. But as we dig into this, it becomes clear that's just a shorthand for something else that we, at least as a modeler, need to understand. Now, it might still end up in the taxonomy as level 1, 2, and 3, but it's really, really important that we understand the underlying attributes of that thing. And for us, at least, and I think Andy would agree, that's a large part of what we're trying to achieve, is a better understanding of what goes into those items that we're trying to model.
It certainly helps when we're creating things to go with the level 1, 2, and 3 that we actually use in reporting to make sure we don't conflict with them by adding something that in our modeling we found out is actually a part of the way that the levels work. So we've double-checked how the levels work. We know we put in a number for level 1, 2, or 3, that we're not going to accidentally create something that conflicts with that and causes confusion in reporting. Lou?
Yeah. What's the benefit of having in a data model what the level 1 means?
Well,
I just don't get the benefit. And you started to say it, but I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, basically it means that we don't accidentally conflict when we do the rest of, we create the line items. We don't put pieces of information that should just be implied by level 1 in the line item name, for example.
Yeah.
So we don't create a line item that says observable something or other, because that's a property of level 1. It's duplicating information. It's just going to confuse people.
Yeah. If you don't know what a level 1 is, you shouldn't be reading financial statements. You know, that's another view of this. It's like, wow.
Most data aggregators.
I was just going to add that. I think
data aggregators shouldn't be reading financial statements.
But they may understand the underlying attributes.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of the... Sorry, I'm jumping in.
No, I'm not. That's good. No, I was just... That was...
I think
like you said, maybe those attributes aren't in the final taxonomy, but do they need to be somewhere else? And is that our job to be explaining
to
non-financial
to
people what level 1, 2, and 3 are?
I will be heading that direction. What to do with this? It comes a bit next.
Yeah.
Chi, have you got?
Can I ask you to my understanding? So this level 1 or level 2 is the line item which usually we are using for a primary financial statement, and this model metadata level is the jumping to the kind of detail table for the
hotel. Are you looking at one of my latest slides by any chance?
I'm seeing this slide because I wanted to skip this page, so I have to wait.
So yes, I've basically been through most of the reasons for using it. It is making this stuff explicit. I will come to why that's a good thing in a second. It is less constrained by the way that people actually put things on the piece of paper. It stops us from only thinking about things in terms of the way that they exist in the disclosures and think about the way that people might disclose them in the future, and it allows us to be a bit more flexible about how we think about that. There's a bit of a question about what happens with extensions. There have been some theories that actually it might reduce the number of extensions because it covers a lot more of what might be reported. But it's a bit of a sort of theoretical area at the moment. Dave, is it a question I can answer now?
Yes. I'm a little bit lost here. To be honest, go back to the first slide in terms of aims and questions.
Yeah.
It says how it might interact with the IFRS taxonomy. So it's not a discussion whether DPM should be another architecture for the IFRS taxonomy. It's a kind of interaction layer between systems, and because Michael's a little bit, how does it impact the ease of the preparers to create the report, and how does it impact that? And you,
I'm about to get onto a bit of what we could do with it, which I think, so if we carry on slightly now, hopefully I'll answer your question. If I don't, put your thing back up and I'll get back to you. Does that work?
Yeah.
Second
question, maybe you can address it also then. That is on the hybrid model. It's not so much dimensional, non-dimensional. It's also in terms of if you go dimensional, you go parameters quickly in table link based.
Mm.
And if you talk hybrid, there's also a lot of tuple taxonomies there.
Yeah.
Or that's also part of the hybrid, which don't support table link. So there's an issue in terms of the files also, and also the use of the data.
Yeah, there's various use areas to consider. So in theory, if I go into expected outputs, if I don't answer your questions, then put the thing back up and I'll come back to the one about what effect it might have on the taxonomy. So if we go to the next slide, there's a whole heap of things we could do for output. As I said, we haven't fully finalized it yet. It includes, you know, model diagrams, mapping to the IFRS taxonomy, spreadsheet documentation, generally contributing towards the way our policy works. As I said, we'll produce more solid things as we come to the idea of what it is we actually want to output that will be most useful for people. What I'm going to go into now is hopefully we'll start answering some of the questions I'm getting so far, which is what can we do with this? And the thing I want to emphasize here is these are just examples. These are just ideas I had for what the project could possibly do. We haven't made any decisions, and we definitely aren't going to make any. It's a cautionary note. We definitely aren't going to make any, A, without consulting this group, B, without consulting lots of other stakeholders, and C, until we've finished. So if I have a quick look at some ways that this might be used and sort of hopefully either discuss some of the concerns and maybe some things on the way. So if we go to the next couple of slides here. So for example, the first one I've mentioned is the assessment of the existing dimensions. And it's just looking at what in the existing IFRS taxonomy model for fair value measurement, we have axes for measurement, classes of assets, liability and equity, the level of fair value, valuation technique and range. So it's a reasonably, it's quite dimensional actually for one of our existing files. If we go to the next slide. And the question is, we can map these to all the different properties we find in the model, and we can ask, say, okay, are these the appropriate axes? Are they actually covering all the information people might want to report? Are there other axes we should be adding? Should our domain members be arranged differently? Are we actually not allowing people to report combinations they might want at the moment? And how does this interact with the rest of the IFRS taxonomy? So, for example, we could change the way we represent the levels. We could continue to represent the levels as they are at the moment, because actually that's the most practical way to allow preparers to use it, and because it doesn't get it into, you know, things like table link base and so on. So that would be the aim. And then, of course, following on from that, we get to the next question, which is, what does this do to the IFRS taxonomy? So if we go on to the next slide, so we get this idea of, do we create a new taxonomy? It's a concern. It's the first thing that people actually say when we say, oh, we're doing this DPM-style modelling thing, is, oh, does that mean you're replacing the IFRS taxonomy with a DPM-style taxonomy? My answer here suggests that actually that's quite unlikely. There's always the chance that we come up with a ton of evidence that says, actually, this is going to be awesome and we'll solve all of our reporting problems. But I think it's actually quite unlikely that this is anytime soon at all, this will replace the current way that the IFRS taxonomy model happens. What I think it can do is change the way we use dimensions at the moment to try and make them more sensible as an output. And another thing that we can consider is, if you go to the next slide, this is, you know, just a random idea. What if we had two taxonomies? EIOPA has done it. There's no reason we couldn't. At the moment, we have this idea that the IFRS reporting scenario is only this one way of using IFRS data. If there are more ways of using IFRS data, why do we not contain all the information that the more detailed reporting requirements want in one kind of taxonomy, keep the existing taxonomy for practical preparation of financial statements directly? Now, this is just a random idea. That doesn't mean it might happen. But it's something to explore, and it's definitely worth us, you know, we should look at these things before we rule them out or decide to do them or not do them. So, for example, in this particular circumstance, the advantages of having that second taxonomy, if we go to the next slide, would be that we'd have the explicit descriptions. We've improved the business rule coverage in that taxonomy. It would be good for the slicing and dicing. It would be very good for covering a really wide range of data points and combinations that we don't see in use as much at the moment. On the other hand, it would be many possible combinations for preparers to consider. This is where we get into that thing of the table link base, of the narrowing things down by presenting them in those spreadsheet tables. Labels and documentation and stuff has to be associated with the data points. We have to go into technology again. And it can be more difficult to render, and that makes it for flexible reporting, it wouldn't necessarily be the thing to use. So we get to this position where we're saying, okay, we're going to consider this. We're going to look at what we can get from it. But as I said, it seems to me at the moment, even before we finish, it's very unlikely that this means we suddenly turn the IFRS taxonomy into a massively dimensional taxonomy, but we may consider doing other things using that information and alongside it. This is something that I find quite as more of an interesting idea, is having gone to all the bother of producing all these extra properties, of describing the levels, of going into all this extra information. Something you mentioned was, well, what happens to all that stuff that we've developed? Is the idea of providing this information as further detail on taxonomy concepts. So, you know, when we've refined our sort of dimensional model a bit, we've worked out our taxonomy, is we could embed this in IFRS taxonomy XBRL files. As I said earlier, XBRL is actually quite close to having some quite complicated relationship representation in there. It's a pretty good standard for doing that kind of thing within its current reporting thing. It could be provided as a separate but consumable related format. There are other standards out there for representing models in ways that people can consume them. The aim for those would then be that this model could be published and data consumers could then look up what things mean in more detail. So when a preparer could, when they're preparing their statement, they could say, okay, I've got this member, it says it's level one, I've read the definition or documentation label, I've had a bit of a look at the text in the standard. And there's this model up there that says these are all the words and the properties that define what a level one is. That's quite nice and clear. Or if you're somebody who has to do the consumption and the analysis of this data, similarly, you could program your system to say, okay, I've got this really generic level one. That's no use to me. I want to slice and dice the data down more detailed in a more detailed fashion to this. Okay, let's go grab this published something or other and say, that means actually I've got this in more detail, and this is something I want for my analyst purposes. Again, see my early disclaimer, this is all sort of speculative ideas and reasons to look at this and see what we can get out of it. So the thing I just described would have something like this, which is what she was looking at earlier when she was asking the questions. So you'd have, in the same way we have the taxonomy at the moment, we'd have the primary reporting item in asset. In this case, we're talking about at fair value, but the general concept. We already have domain members that say, is this a thing at level one? Is it a thing at level two? Is it a reported value at level three? Have we classified the measurement? And then underneath that, in taxonomy, or as I said, somewhere else, we could then provide those extra breakdowns that we've seen when we've been looking at the actual description of those levels in the standard, whether it's observable, whether it's a market valuation, a quoted price, it's active. And then somebody, a consumer, could pick up this extra information and know more about what the taxonomy is reporting in a preparer's instance. And in this case, the aim would be that the preparer wouldn't have had to do anything differently to the way they're doing it now. They would continue to say this is level one, and then that extra information would be there for consumption purposes or documentation purposes. Similarly, there's no reason to have to apply it via members. You can apply extra information that says, by the way, we also know more about the asset itself. We don't just know more about the measurement, we know more about the asset than we've got in the taxonomy as it stands. We have this extra information. So if we look at future work quickly and some next steps, obviously, this is the bit, as I said, we're mainly undecided at this stage. We've literally only had, is it three or four meetings now? So we're very much at the working stage of just trying to see what it is we get out of this and what kind of information we get out of this and how well it's working. One of the things we might consider doing, if it looks like it's really giving us some very useful information, even if it's just for internal purposes and we don't publish anything, I think we may consider doing more of this work on more of the standards. Give us a clearer idea of the whole, what IFRS financial reporting or US GAAP financial reporting entails, what the information is about it. We may want to work on less detailed models of fundamental things, because of course each of our organizations has our respective conceptual frameworks. We may decide that this much detail is just too overwhelming, that we may want to do something more general to help people out with the general concepts. And then of course there's whether or not it actually manages to feed in any useful information for us in taxonomy development, whether we bring some things back to you and say, okay, we looked at this. This is actually how when we come out of this, this is how we think some of our dimensions should have been working. Does these sound like they make more sense to you? Does this look like it's come up with something more sensible, or does it look like it's not fulfilling the role in that area? So obviously I rushed through that quite a bit. I know some of the questions you had, did I not answer your particular questions about the impact on the taxonomy, or did I manage to cover them?
I like your second taxonomy question.
Can you pick mic on, sorry, people on the line.
I'm very supportive of the initiative, because I think it definitely is of good value to integrate it with information analytical purpose. But it would be nice to include also the question, what would it impact, say, the finance perspective, if mm-hmm. you would use such a taxonomy. So one of the first slides, yeah. You assess the application of this.
I mean, the aim for the impact on filers would be a kind of a combination of, hopefully it would make the taxonomy more representative of disclosures and thus better to use. That's really the primary aim for the impact on preparers there. It's not to suddenly land preparers with a highly dimensional taxonomy that they're not expecting or doesn't work for their flexible reporting. The aim is to try and improve the way it represents the standards as it is, so that when a preparer or a filer is looking at mapping their disclosures, it's easier, it's more navigable, or it more accurately represents it. In some cases, we may decide that we're okay as we are as well. It's about providing more information, not forcing change if change isn't necessary.
So we've hit a scheduled breakpoint. I would suggest we continue through and then we just take a break ad hoc, would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
In that case, go ahead, Olivia.
So I have been carefully listening until the end just to make sure that my question was not answered in the next slide. Can we go back? Well, maybe it's not easy for you, Vladek, but I'd like to go back to the slide reasons to use DPM. In our deck, it's slide 13.
So it'd be probably just before that using as expected, and then just before that.
Before that, up. before.
That one.
Yeah. So I, in my sense, so I think you made it, Andy, the only, or probably the only users of the DPM today are the banks and the insurance in Europe, so EB and EIOPA. Michael, do you, are you aware of any other initiatives using DPM around the world?
There's a couple of companies outside of Europe, Israel,
okay. But my question is quite straightforward. Is there any market, not interest, but request for IFRS taxonomy to go for DPM? Did we receive any kind of demand or question to go for DPM?
We've certainly heard some interest in, there's two answers to this, basically. The first one is we have heard some interest in have we looked at DPM? Have we considered what the effects might be? We have had that.
Yeah.
The second part is that there's two aspects to this, and one of them is the modelling, which is not so much about producing this output that, that would be directly fed into regulators or demand from regulators. That's all about giving us more information. So the fact it's this DPM is because it's got this more granular style to it. It's doing the modelling that in the back end that eventually for these taxonomies would result in the dimensional taxonomy, but we're not saying we're definitely going that far. The aim is to get the more information and the pull out all the detail of the properties for our own use in our current taxonomy, let alone in any future project.
And if I may, just to complete, if, and I know it's a bit unfortunate that ESMA is not here today, and I put a big, big if ESMA decides to go for XBRL, I repeat, it's still a big question mark. Might this be a way to make some more harmonization or to have some more harmonization among EBA and EIOPA? From a technical viewpoint, purely from a technical viewpoint.
This is, again, like there are many ifs here, all of you.
I'm just thinking about a company.
Yeah, no, and
because you, Anna, that is filing to various supervisors and regulators. Is this something like a hope, a wish, that they might create an instance in a similar way by filing to different authorities?
This is definitely one of, like, at least we will be more prepared, and we can be answering that question more with confidence if we go through this exercise, all of you. Also, I think there are other ways, even if you go to a more dimensional taxonomy, you can still flatten dimensional taxonomies as well into line items. In fact, you could even have software tools which help with this, that the preparer only has to tag once, but in the background, in fact, it maps to different structures. And may I add one thing as well, you say, has there been any use for it? And I'm here talking from the data aggregator's perspective, coming back to what Lewis said, that typical we just include level one, level two, and level three because our users are demanding it. Sometimes we also will go to the standards, but we are put off a little bit because it's very data aggregators and product designers and the data aggregators, we think very structured. We think data models, we think databases. So when I remember reading the standards and immediately doing what Andy is doing now, trying to put some boxes, trying to put some relationships against, because that's how we think. So I think by having associated metadata with a taxonomy, I think that for particular users of IFRSs and for IFRS financial reports can be very, very useful.
And I think on the subject of harmonization, the hope would be the information in whatever form will always help with any solution that's going to come out of it. So having the information there, whichever direction the solution takes, it's there to be used. Question?
Are you thinking of going really extreme, such as debit credit would be members in this highly dimensional model and current, non-current?
Well, or bear in mind you just said members. For me at the moment, we're not even anywhere near the concept of XBRL members. I'm literally talking about identifying the properties for model purposes. Whether we go as far as then pulling it in saying if we created an XBRL taxonomy, what would be members is something we'll discover later in the project.
Okay, so these pieces and parts and attributes are not members, they're something.
They're properties, they're attributes, they're things that apply. If we wanted to use them in a taxonomy in practice, would we turn them into a member or use an XBRL property or use a line item? That's the final question in that physical model. That's right near the end of the process.
Then following on, you know, level two, what it is, quoted prices and inactive markets, that's in the documentation label. I mean, if somebody really wants to see it, you're saying there's a benefit to having it as an attribute that's not a documentation label.
As something consumable for those for software.
Yeah. It's where.
Yeah.
Okay. Truly for non-accountants, I guess you'd say. That's the benefit of it. For someone who doesn't understand what level two is, and I'm hung up on that, come on, you really have to tell someone what level two is, but I'm tracking with you. That's why I'm thinking too, well, then you should tell them what a debit credit is in an attribute as opposed to having it, you know, in the
The other thing that can happen during this process is it can be quite interesting to discover when people don't actually quite all agree on what those concepts are. So if he says, oh, I know what X is, and somebody else said, the second participant says, I know what X is, the third participant says, I know what X is, those three definitions don't agree.
Yeah, I see value in that. I see value in that. Level 1, 2, 3, I don't, but lastly, you know, you talk about Deutsche Bank and the fact that it'd be great if they could file all three of those. EOPA and EBA, the reason I think data modeling works well for those is that they are the same industry. IFRS is going across many industries, and that makes it tough to
Produce that final table thing. But the thing that's not the table, the listing of all the properties and things, it's just the same.
Mm-hmm.
The flexibility doesn't impact that kind of description of things. It's pulling it together into something that's a sort of a practical reporting format that it has more influence on. It's the final physical result, the model at the top.
There'd be more line items. Because it's different industries, I guess, whereas the banking industry, it's easier to boil down a little bit.
Well, we'll find out when we've done the work.
It's on loose points, so that's where I put. Because in terms of the levels, I think it's not about the levels. It's about the characteristics that go into the levels and how can they can be potentially reused in other places. So the fact that market is active and inactive, in a level, you assume it because that's a characteristic of a level given in a level. But also, there might be other things that are not levels that also have a characteristic of inactive or active market. And therefore, that, you know, if you talk about levels, it's most likely that we will combine those characteristics into levels anyway. So we will split it into, you know, more detailed characteristics and then combine them because that's how they are used in the financial reporting. It might be too difficult to prepare us to, you know, every time click inactive something, something, something to get to level 1, 2, 3. They have already a grouping of those characteristics that are used together. But at the same time, there are other things that might, you know, it might be good to know what those parts are. In terms of the DPM, I think it works. In terms of the DPM, I think it works because it's a closed reporting scenario. That's a big advantage. Not necessarily the industry itself. Because if you had a closed reporting in IFRS, you know, a format that every company would have to adhere to, it would also make it much easier to create a DPM than what we have now.
I know Chi's been waiting a while. It is related to the...
so we've got time for one more. Actually, we take the two and then we'll take the two. Go ahead, Chi. Please go ahead quickly.
Then
we take
mine,
and then we have.
But I want to ask you a lot of questions about it. So about this slide. So that I want to make sure my understanding is. Is this kind of a combined ideas of traditional reporting and so that the more organized reporting like EBS or the more data point models is jointed ideas? Because I think that basically we have two types of taxonomies. So DPM is used for the EBA or those kind of reporting for financial sectors. It's completely different from the, our disclosure data companies make, because we have more freedom. So it's not organized like that. So what we are suffering from is that this is not taxonomy issue, so that the original financial statement quite complicated. And even if the primary financial statement, each item, and the detail table, sometimes so the depth of the meaning is different to each other.
Yeah.
So difficult to using such kind of things. But so your idea is basically the joint model to the traditional the primary statement is a level, maybe level one or level two. And then if the reporting is more organized, maybe we can use more detailed level using like a model, data point model, similar model.
Yeah, it's correct my idea. Sort of, yeah. I mean, the aim is to try and combine the knowledge we get from all those different circumstances. So the fact that while we may not be able to directly use the kind of properties we get from a DPM modelling in the more flexible reporting, we can at least say where they could be used by somebody who said, I've applied level one, this is what it means, even if we don't want to actually put that in the reporting, because that wouldn't give the flexibility anymore.
I would like to ask you to discuss such kind of discussion with the outside, the people who is outside of XBR communities. Because the reporting is not, I don't think the current company reporting is not okay for the current styles.
Yes, it's not. it's an attempt to try and get some more of that information into the reporting by defining it elsewhere.
Original report is still the same as there is now, so difficult to correct it using taxonomies.
Yeah.
So I think it's better to discuss with the people who outside XBR community and how it's better to write the reporting, more organizing to the data, more clearly and the comparability.
You're kind of coming into the disclosure initiative there, I think, as well.
Maybe this is
understandably.
I sort of feel cold because it's my colleague's invention, the DPM methodology. So firstly, on the reasons, which I think Oliver asked, Jagger recently, the joint expert group between the ECB, EBA, and EIOPA, recently issued a paper on, also I was showing it to Bart, also reconciling to, I think, IFRS 9 financial terms. They have difficulty because on the IFRS taxonomy side, we still use the compound element names and we still use the sort of like the complete description in the form of line items, and we only break down on the levels of dimensions. We don't provide this as explicitly as Andy said, as complete, as precise as it is in the FinRep, for instance, DPM model. So they used it and they tried to reconcile as much as possible to the IFRSs. However, it's difficult. Without this precise, complete picture at the atomic level description, comparability is hardly possible because there always comes some interpretation levels and there always comes certain implicitness that the business experts assume, for instance, carrying amounts or things that Bartosz mentioned about the impairment reversals and so on. These things are basically written somewhere, as Andy said, in the measurement parts and so on. If they are not explicitly in the data model, it's impossible to compare. So I would say one reason to do this kind of exercise is to allow certain better level of comparability of different types of frameworks and disclosure requirements. FinRep is exactly the same. We have been having issue comparing IFRS reports and the FinRep reports in the European Union because the European Commission went a different way, interpreted IFRSs in the banking scope. We had these differences on the consolidation scopes between FinRep and IFRSs. IFRSs include insurance, FinRep doesn't, and so on and so on. So if we don't explicitly state that for every particular breakdown, every property, we cannot compare. So that's one. The second, on the extensibility, which I think Andy raised, I actually like that because if you have this controlled set of breakdowns, anytime I want to add anything else, anything new, I need to check whether it's not violating or it's not duplicating anything that already exists.
Yeah.
So first,
managed extensions, yeah.
It helps manage extensions. Is it difficult, more difficult for the filer? Depends how we take it. I would say that, you know, if we consider it a sort of like a Lego blocks game, we just pick different colors of the Lego blocks in order to build certain house here, and so on. So it's just taking those different properties to put it together. Do we have the right tools and interfaces at present? No. Unfortunately, so the market is not ready to be proposed this kind of taxonomy at present. I like the idea that you put for having this as a data modeling exercise and supporting the consistency of identification things across the frameworks. I think that's the right stage at this moment. And lastly, I just wanted to quickly point out one thing that we are at present doing. There is an initiative to make the DPM methodology an ISO standard. And ISO has two portions to it. One is the methodology how to design DPM models, and the second is a registry of these different breakdown domain members or properties. And in such a way, if we started taking it from IFRS and from a IASB and FASB perspective and started plugging in and standardizing these different properties, like level 1, level 2, level 3, whatever else we go where, wherever, you know, however detailed we go about it, from EBA we will have counterparties and portfolios and amount types and so on and so on. From EIOPA something else related to, for instance, technical provisions. ECB will jump with them, and then we will sort of like come up with a relatively comprehensive model of properties of which we can actually build the reportable items. Regardless whether you want to build a single line item, which is a compound element and represented as a single schema element, or whether it's a very dimensional breakdown. So just wanted to add that.
Just a small point. Are there any other? I think I'm.
You're done.
Sorry, Bing, have you got?
Sorry,
can you turn the microphone? Sorry.
I like this stack. It's full of brilliant ideas as well as but undecided or not decided yet. So my question is, what have you done towards the data model? And what's the preliminary view of the trustee or the board? Because it's quite important, but costly. So if Ministry of Finance decide to
have joined the conference,
we'd like to know what where we are now.
I don't think the trustees have. Or the board have even considered data modeling a DPM at all. So the whole what we're doing now is really working out what the position, how it might inform the IFRS taxonomy.
I agree.
How it, you know, in some ways as an accountant, I see it actually might inform the way we write standards. And I think the FASB have using it a lot more in when you're developing the standards, you get a lot more clear and consistent use of the language. And I see a lot of benefit that way.
Christy, I agree. I think it's very, very challenging for you to try to explain what the DPM is to trustees. You'd better let them know the FASB is doing.
I don't think it's possible. But similarly, we'll have the same issues when we'll need to replace the things. We have legacy things in the XBL tax coming from the XBL standard, like the use of element names and long Camel tree convention and so on. We should replace it with codes, but it will take time with the taxonomy. There is a number of those ideas that we will need to come up with anyway, because there are challenges to managing these extensions and the issues of comparability between the taxonomies. So these are just natural problems that we are trying to respond to, I think.
We need to move on to the member update.
But you've been waiting for a while.
So, Michael, with apologies to your associates, I wish we had not called this project a DPM project, because we spent half of our time saying it's not DPM. I agree with, I think, everything you said. For where we're looking, and Christy, to your point, this is all about a mindset. And, you know, we had this session a couple weeks ago to our taxonomy advisory group where we talked about it. And I think we did the same thing here. We didn't really talk about what the impact is on the preparer. And we had one particular preparer in our group, and she said, so what does this mean to me? which is a really important point, because, at least in the near term, it has no direct impact on preparers. It will influence the way we think about our modeling, which I think is really important. It will influence the questions we ask the standard setters. It's, you can take any concept within the taxonomy, and you ask one of our modelers today, what does that concept mean? And I say, vehicle, what is that? Car, four wheels. Ask an analyst what that means. It could mean something completely different. And that's really what we're trying to get at. We're trying to do a mind shift so that we're asking the right questions and we understand what the relevance is of the attributes of those items. We look at our dimensions now, and a lot of them, again, PP&E, we've got land, we've got vehicles, we've got, is that what an analyst really cares about? Probably has more to do with the life expectancy of the property, other rights around the property, not the way we're describing them today. And this, to me, is about us getting a better modeling understanding that allows us to do a better job in our modeling.
Thanks, Miss.